We're going to call this meeting to order at 5:30 p.m. Is there anyone that wishes to address from the public any of our closed session items? Okay, we'll be going into closed session, discuss expulsion of a student, public employee discipline dismissal, release transfer, conference with labor negotiations, CSEA Chapter 91, as well as Government Code Section 54957, continue public employee performance evaluation. And with that, we are adjourned to closed session. Okay, it's 7:02 and we've come out of closed session where we discuss expulsion of a student, public employee discipline dismissal, release transfer, conference with our labor negotiators with CSEA, and Government Code Section 54957, continue public employee performance evaluation. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to offer an invocation? Okay, then please rise, and I'll go ahead and do one. And Eileen, if you would lead us in the pledge. Our kind of gracious Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the Board of Education at Westkina Unified School District. We're grateful for our staffs and for the parents who entrust us with their children, and we're grateful for the many blessings that we have seen through their efforts. And Father, we ask a blessing on this meeting that it will be a productive one, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here. Here.
Here.
Here.
Here.
Okay, I'd like to report out action taken in closed session. It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and approved to expel the following pupils from the school district. Pupil name 196254, possession and sale of a controlled substance, marijuana, and the vote was 3 yes with Ms. Shoemaker, Jimenez, and myself voting aye. There were zero no votes, and then there were 2 absences, Mrs. Polis and Mr. Cox. Okay, presentations.
Okay. We'd like to start by recognizing one of our finest teachers who's been recognized as East San Gabriel Valley Reading Teacher of the Year. Mr. Atherton, will you please come forward?
I want to thank, is this on?
Yes, by
the
way? Yes.
I want to thank the principal, Mr. Mark Travatori, for even suggesting that I might be worthy of this award. And I do appreciate the fact that the board is and the district is recognizing folks for their efforts in helping kids read. I personally don't feel like I necessarily am the only person worthy of this award at all. And I feel there's many people on my campus as well as throughout the district that are working very tirelessly, quite tirelessly, to help kids who are struggling to achieve at their highest potential with reading. So I just appreciate it. Thank you for your time and honoring us in this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Donaldson, Professional Development Plan for Orangewood Elementary.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Mary Donaldson. I'm the principal at Orangewood, and I'd like to introduce Donna Whitney, my Instructional Support Specialist. Good evening, distinguished board members, Superintendent Castillo, Cabinet, Administrative Team, staff, and friends. This evening, I'm very excited to present and share student achievement data and our staff development plan at Orangewood. I am thrilled to report our school-wide API has increased 103 points in the last 4 years. Our 2 significant subgroups, Hispanic and socioeconomically disadvantaged, Hispanic has increased 111 points, and socioeconomically disadvantaged has increased 105 points, both subgroups going up more than school-wide, and closing, helping to close our achievement gap.
Very good.
In English language arts, our total school-wide has gone in 4 years from 33.9 to 28.9 points. Our Hispanic subgroup has gone up 25.6 groups. Disadvantaged has gone up 25.6 groups, and English learners have gone up 26.9 groups. We're currently at 45% proficient in English learners, and the goal is, of course, to be 56.8 proficient. So we have 11.8 points to go, and actually this year we are putting on a full court press for English learners. I learned that term from my nephew who's in basketball. We have enhanced our program many, while we've always remediated for all students below proficient, we've created several new programs. One is we have a before-school intervention, grades 2 through 5, Monday through Friday, every morning from 7:15 to 7:45 with a new computer program, English in a Flash, which is exciting and kids want to come to school for it for vocabulary development. We've also purchased vocabulary development for the classrooms and trained our EL aides to work with the students in the back of the room. It's wonderful. Word parts, prefixes, suffixes, base words, Greek and Latin words. It's really helping the students. So we're working very, very hard on EL. And lastly, our last subgroup is students with disabilities have increased 42 points. So we're working very hard to close the achievement gap in English language arts. In math, go back please, Donna. In math, we've also gone up 16.2 points in 4 years. Our Hispanic has increased 18.9. Disadvantaged has gone up 14.1. English learners have gone up 36.4, and disabilities have gone up 29.5 points. So we are making growth in all of our subgroups and closing that achievement gap. And because of that, this screen, it just automatically wants to seem to go to, are these awards of ours. We're thrilled to have received the Title I Academic Achievement Award the last 3 years. It's a very high standard. 238 schools in the state received it this year, and Jack O'Connell calls personally. In addition, our honor roll, California Business for Education Excellence, is also awarded to schools closing the achievement gap, and this is our first year on that, so we're very excited. All right, where we're going, what we're really working on this year. Our overarching goals, number one really is explicit direct instruction, and this is something we do every lesson, every day. It's standards-based instruction to promote student engagement with a very high level of academic rigor. Our goal is to strengthen initial teaching, stating the learning goal, the objective, every lesson, every day. An acronym TAPL, which stands for Teach First, Ask a Specific Question, Pause, Pick a Non-Volunteer, Listen to the Response, Provide Effective Feedback. That's something we do all day, every day. We use equity sticks, which really helps student engagement, where the students don't know who's going to be called on. Whiteboards, academic vocabulary, we're working very hard. Talk about this all the time. Data-driven instruction. We use data to inform instruction at both staff development and grade level meetings. We use our district benchmarks, our scholastic reading inventory, among all the new multiple measures we have this year. We continue to work to differentiate instruction by content, process, product, and learning environment. We have always work to maintain a positive learning environment. We try to catch students making good choices. We provide orange tickets so they can receive prizes. We've woven character ed into our curriculum. We write about character every month. We're working very hard to do that. And lastly, focused intervention, which is something we do and modify constantly. I mentioned our before school, which is new this year. We have after school intervention, which is October through April, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're serving about 240 students this year versus 220 last year. And Saturday school, we just finished the first 2 weeks of Saturday school, and we'll do four more after break, and that's 2 weeks more than last year. So we are increasing our intervention at all levels this year. All right, our professional development plan, let's get to the meat of that. Explicit direct instruction you will see on every trimester. It's a very important theme in all subject areas. We started off the year with a presenter from DataWorks. We discussed school-wide data on the CST, curriculum and standards alignment. You'll see we do pace and guides both yearly and monthly, and we do that every single month. We talk about it. We look at it again. It's a living document. Lesson study process is new to us this year. Teachers have planned lessons and visited each other's classrooms with a goal to improve instruction, and we found that very effective. We have ongoing staff training and development for SFA, our reading curriculum. And we identify needs and determine interventions. And again, we look at data analysis. We have many, many multiple measures, and we use them all. And we remediate and reteach. That was our first trimester. You'll see similar things. We carry things through the year. We have focused a lot this year on English learners. We're all trying to get better at teaching English learners. We have a lot to go up this year. So we're doing very strategic interventions, before school, after school intervention, during school. Classroom walkthrough, which is we've been graciously given a new notepad, and we have the ability to go into classrooms with a new process where we focus on the curriculum, the teacher, the learner, and we are also trying to improve instruction with that. Again, we look at curriculum alignment, always aligning our curriculum to pace and guides. We've reviewed lesson study again this last quarter. Differentiation is an ongoing process. We've been working most recently on tiered lessons to have the same outcome for students with teaching in different ways at different levels. And differentiation is difficult, so we continue to work on it. And then very recently, we've been working many weeks in a row on strategies to improve student achievement on the CST, both blueprints and test release questions, and looking at data and seeing what we've missed and seeing, do we need to restate something? Do we need to teach it in a different way? Have we covered everything? We've just finished our second trimester. Going into our third trimester now, you can see, again, explicit direct instruction. And the reason we keep doing this is it's not easy. It's difficult. And, you know, we're all at different spots with it. It's hard to remember, and we're doing a lot of things to improve. And so we spend a lot of time on it. Again, we're going to look at blueprints and test release questions tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We're going to continue that. We really, really want to hit every question and provide as much opportunity for students as possible. We will look at blueprints for the weight of test questions. And we cover every standard until mastered, or we try very hard to. Again, we align our curriculum. We'll be continuing to look at target intervention, which is a ever-changing. Students come in, they come out, they join Saturday school, they leave Saturday. I mean, it's just constantly moving, so it's a lot to manage. And again, we're always looking at identifying student needs and determining interventions. And with that said, moving forward, again, our major focus, improve and expand explicit direct instruction, continue the use of data to drive instruction, and to quote our superintendent, there is no finish line. So our goal is to maintain our high culture of achievement. Thank you.
Excellent.
Eileen?
Hello, Ms. Donaldson. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I actually don't have a lot of questions. Sorry about that. Only because I've spent time at your campus and you've gone through data with me, and I want to say how impressed I am. You are very data-driven. You have all your numbers. You know where every student stands. I was very, very impressed when I went in there. I saw excellent use of SFA within the classroom, and I'm so glad that the district has supported the effort of SFA because her teachers are amazing. I've gone in there already for a few sessions, and I saw all of these things that you said you were outlining. I saw them taking place in the classroom, so thank you. You all are doing a fabulous job there. And when I was comparing your stats to the No Child Left Behind data here, you're looking really good. You're looking really, really good, so that's great. And I know this is going to change, but I was comparing the two, so
thank
good
you.
Work.
We
good
are
work.
Trying hard. Thank you.
Kimmy?
Oh, first I just wanted to say wow on your special ed results.
So I'm looking like, oh, wow, look. I know.
Yay, thank you.
That was really exciting. What do you attribute especially the math scores to?
Well, you know, math is really a universal language. I mean, it's not always affected by English. I mean, we try to make things as comprehensible as we can. We try to use a lot of manipulatives. Again, we repeat, we remediate, and we invite every student in the school to intervention, whether they're in, whatever they're in, whether they're in speech or RSP or anything they're in. When we had SDC students, everyone is invited. We encourage them if they can only come 2 weeks here or there. So we're constantly, and we do work very closely by grade level teams and try to share best strategies and share what hasn't worked, share what's worked, try to remediate those standards. So math is, we also had a program that spiraled and didn't cover everything. It forced us to become very, very good at looking at the release test questions and making sure we covered standards. So we really teach the standards, not the curriculum. We want to make sure that everything is taught.
You still have a special day class then?
I don't right now.
Oh, okay.
This is the first
year. Oh, that's right. You moved to Monta Vista. But it's still very impressive.
Thank you. Well, we work very hard.
That was really exciting.
I think another thing that's helped, too, is the explicit direct instruction where everyone's engaged.
Wonderful. Can you give me how you had said that you had worked on leveling, different ways of leveling. How are you leveling for your gifted students?
Well, one advantage we have is we do have Success for All at this school where where a child, if they're gifted and they're in third grade, if they're reading at a sixth grade level, we'll put them in sixth grade. So children have the ability during that SFA time to really be above grade level. In addition, we work very hard. Several grade levels do regroup for math, so we also have that within the grade. And then we also try as much as possible to differentiate, and there's so many different ways to do that. Some of our teachers use whiteboards, where all the time, and you teach a lesson, and one way to do it is you've taught it, and, okay, these six kids didn't get it, so you pull them. Everybody's doing doing practice right now, and you're going to reteach that to them. Other ways of doing it is we'll do tiered lessons. We'll try to do things for different levels. That's difficult to do, but we're becoming more and more proficient at it, where you sort of do things silently. One thing is they're at different levels, so the students don't really know, and they're working at their grade level and advanced. So you're providing them with opportunities to move ahead.
Students always know.
The goal is they don't, but you're probably right.
It's amazing. My niece can come and tell me everybody.
You can't kid a kid, I always say.
What's the highest reading level you have in your...
Well, our school goes from K to 5, but we do have 6th grade. We have purchased a lot of 6th grade materials. And what happened over time is the first year, we moved 5th graders into 6th grade, and then we needed another whole year of 6th grade materials because they're in 6th grade 2 years now. So... that's the highest we go to is 6th grade.
And does SFA go higher than that?
Yes, they do, but we have just gone that far, and we have layer on more vocabulary, and the 6th grade is pretty rigorous. SFA is fairly rigorous. It's very embedded with strategies, skills, so you can always take it up to the next level. Mm-hmm. So it does provide a great opportunity for the students.
For your, you said you were doing a lot on the CST,
mm-hmm.
and releasing, going over the release study questions. Are you doing any trainings for the parents and giving them examples of the release questions and what their students or their children will be seeing on them?
Yes, we are. We have not done that yet. That will be coming up this month. We have a parent training for our CST, and we do talk about that. And just this last week, I had a parent come up to me at Saturday school, and she thanked me so much for doing this preparation, because while we invite students below are proficient, anyone that would like to come, welcome. And it's a lot just to get the kids there, you know, because there's Little League and catechism and all these things on a Saturday. And this parent came up to me. She'd just come from another district. And she said, oh, thank you so much for doing this, because at my last district, they just gave us a packet and said, here, get your kids ready for the test. And she said, you're actually doing it. So we'll have our gifted students come to this, our high students, and then we'll have, you know, children that are really struggling. So, but it's good review for everybody.
Right. Well, and I know the places that have done it, the parents have really appreciated it.
They love it.
Yes.
It was very exciting this last weekend. The last 2 weekends, they've just been thrilled.
I have another question, if I could read my own writing. Well, since I can't read my own writing and I can't jog my memory.
Sound like me.
I appreciate all you've done, and once again, wow on those scores.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We still have Mr. Atherton if you want to have some help with the reading. Mrs. Donaldson, thank you very much. I know even from your days starting in California, I know I've enjoyed your competitiveness and that spirit that you bring to those schools. I appreciate that very much, and thank you very much for the presentation tonight.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
We've had a request for a 5-minute break from a board member, so 5 minutes.
And if I could just thank my teachers for coming, because it's Little League right now.
I don't have a board president's report, Board of Education report.
Yeah, I do.
I'm sorry, I'm looking this way. Cammie, do you have a Board of Education report? No. Steve?
I do.
Well, you weren't there. Eileen? Please go ahead.
I got this sent in the mail, and I'm happy to update the database. But, Ms. Lais Castillo, this is from Congresswoman Judy Chu. It's the 32nd Annual Congressional District Art Competition. I don't know why they sent it to me, but I will tell them in the future. Did everybody get it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I didn't
send it back. Sorry.
I didn't get
anyone but you.
Everyone but me. I got it now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So I just wanted to pass that along. And I was very sick, so I apologize. I have no site visits or any fun stuff like that to report on. But I'm really, really super excited that the district passed out the Scholastic Census material. Thank you very much. I was glad to see that on my children's packets.
Ms. Shoemaker?
I just have something really quick. The ROP is going through some changes, and as we're sort of transitioning, it was discussed amongst the board what the new makeup of ROP could possibly look like. If any changes are needed, what could best be done to service the individual districts. And towards the end of April, the superintendent of the ROP and the ROP board president will be meeting with our district staff. And since they're going to do that, would like to let the rest of the board know that this is going on. Mr. Spence, you were on the board for a long time, so you may have some suggestions about changes you would like to see through the ROP into our school district. Ms. Pullis, Mr. Cox, you've been on the board for a long time. So any suggestions as we move forward would be great. And as a new board member, hey, you can learn with me. Okay.
Ms. Pullis?
Thank you.
I had the opportunity to go to the PTA honors dinner, and it was just really exciting to see how much volunteerism there is in our district and how much the parents and community members really care about our schools. So I just wanted to bring that up and say I don't see the PTA reps, but I'm going to make sure that they know how much I appreciated all they put on. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to them and for having the dinner.
Student representative report? And then, just so everyone knows, the student representative needs to leave right after he gives his report.
So recently, we are currently preparing for our STAR testing next month and AP testing. So academically, that's what we're doing. Not too busy as far as activities, because we're trying to focus on preparing things. Cheer and Dance Show are actually going to Nationals this weekend, though, so that's a big competition for them. And South Hills League meet for track this Thursday, so it's their first league meet. And our softball beat South Hills by a big win last week, actually. So it's pretty good. And open house is coming up. That's going to be a big day for us, too. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, items from the floor. I've received no blue cards. To address the board, is there anyone in the public that wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing none, organizational approval of agenda consent items. Does anyone wish to take an item off consent? Item 5, and we actually have an addendum there. Anything else wish to add? Is there a motion?
I was wondering if you guys would be interested in adding 7, 8, 10, and 11. I'm disappointed in the choice of the calendar, but I don't know that there's going to be any controversy there.
I don't have a problem with 8, but I don't know, and 11. But I don't know about the others.
Big of you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem with 8 or 11.
Do you have a problem with 7 or 10?
Well, I think we should add, you know, we had a lot of discussion about it.
All right.
But I don't mind adding 8 and 11. Does anyone object to 8 and 11? Just to confuse things. Okay, anything else? Any other changes? Is there a motion?
I'll move.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
And second by Mrs. Polis to approve the agenda and consent items as presented with the changes of deleting item 5, and we have an addendum there, and from the consent calendar, and adding items 8 and 11. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it's approved 5-0. Item number 5. Ms. Shoemaker?
I just wanted to remove it from consent. I'll go ahead and remove it.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Cox?
No.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
It's approved 4-1. One item on this, when we receive addendums with revisions, I thought we had talked about highlighting what the changes were in them from the original packet.
Okay.
And I figured out what they were, but I don't. It'd be helpful in the future to have that.
Okay.
I'll have to have that highlighted. Okay.
Item number 7, calendar.
Mr. Seaman.
This is the calendar for 2010-2011, which is next school year. At the request of the board, we went and got much more feedback on. From the constituents, and there seemed to be more and more support for calendar A. Basically, secondary schools like calendar B, elementary schools like calendar A, the parents were pretty split down the middle between the two. Both calendars, A and B, were academically sound and provided the things that we needed to for our students, but at this time we are recommending calendar A to the board.
Okay, and that's the one where on 7A, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. Any questions? Is there a motion? Mr. Cox?
Yeah, I had a highly influential former parent of West Covina students suggest that perhaps we could extend the Thanksgiving period to do the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, and then add the 3 days at the end. Was that ever brought forward, or is that something we consider, or is that just...
That was brought forward and considered, but most people felt it was making it another week into June that we were getting out, and that was too late.
I will convey your consideration. Thank you.
Please give our best to Mrs. Cox. Is there a motion on this item?
What?
Mr. Shoemaker?
Comment I have on this is I originally supported B. I still support B. It concerns me that basically the schools that would benefit the most from Schedule B are the ones that said yes to it. Would Schedule B appeal to me because testing for finals would be done before the winter break? It would allow students in the high school more time before they took AP tests. And so it's unfortunate that the lower level schools ultimately made the decision for A. We usually have to follow what our community wants, and I understand the positions of the parents in the elementary schools, but again,
Schedule B is most beneficial to the secondary schools, and ultimately it's the grades at those secondary schools that make a difference in getting into college and moving forward. So it's unfortunate that we are not doing B, unless, of course, another board member decides to support it also.
Okay, right now there's no motion on. Is there a motion?
I just have...
Mrs. Paulus?
For the schedule, for all of the schedules, was there a difference in the parent input? Did the secondary, parents at the secondary level want A, or was it primarily the elementary school parents that wanted A? Or were they equally represented or asked the question?
It was equally represented. It wasn't clear-cut that all secondary parents wanted B and all elementary parents wanted A. There was a mixture.
I know one of the ways that they polled them was at the dinner. Mm-hmm. And since we have fewer secondary schools than we do elementary schools, there would only be there would be limited amount of parents at that dinner to actually poll. So if that was the only way they were polled, it would definitely be skewed because they had parents from each school. But I'm not sure how those parents were polled.
That was one aspect. The other aspect was through school site councils and through our principals to our parents. So all schools had input from their parents. It wasn't just at that. That's how Mrs. Eschkoval did it, to get some more.
Right. And that was
but
the
there
only
was other. We used the principal. Well, we didn't use the principal. We asked the principals to do the same thing, and I got their feedback, and even some teachers at that school site councils also. So we got a lot more feedback in the second run.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually saw part of that happening, so I appreciate you going out and getting that input. I just didn't know if that was primarily from the dinner or if it was going to school site councils, which there's definitely parent representatives there, and they understand what's happening at their school. So I appreciate you going out and doing that research.
Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Is there a second? Moved by Mrs. Polis and seconded by Mr. Cox to approve the calendar for the 2010-2011 school year for District K-12 schools as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Abstentions? It's approved 5-0. Okay, item number 9, receive initial proposal submitted for a CSEA Chapter 91 for collective bargaining. Is there a motion?
I'll second.
Moved by Mrs. Shoemaker, seconded by Mrs. Polis. Any discussion? To receive the initial proposals and schedule a public hearing on April 27th. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. The 13th is because of NSBA, we don't know.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, that is approved, 5-0. Calendar for 2011-12. I do appreciate you agendizing this item so quickly. Actually, it's funny because I got a phone call from a parent that was asking what the calendar was, not only for this year but for the following year because they're trying to schedule vacations. So, you know, we don't normally plan that far ahead, I guess, but some people do. So I do appreciate staff taking advantage of this. Is this basically a mirror of the calendar that we just approved for 7, or what variations are there in it?
It's basically a mirror. The same week in August start and the same week in June end. It is leap year in this particular calendar year, so
right. We
ends on a Thursday instead of a Friday because there's an extra actual day in there. But it is a mirror of actually this year and next year that you just voted on. So
then is the intention, if this were to pass, then next year we deal for the calendar 2 years from now. Is that right? Okay. Is there any other questions or comments on this? Is there a motion?
I'll move it, and then go ahead and say something.
Sure. Moved by Mrs. Polis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Cox. Mrs. Polis?
Before we do this again, now I know we have a little bit of leeway. It would be really nice, since we have such a long time, to start getting input for the next calendar we're actually going to vote on and start asking people in different areas what they would like, and then let the public know what the pros and cons are of both. So if they have students that are in AP classes that in their books are this thick, they'll understand how important it is to to actually try to get through those books, and they know how much reading their student has trying to get through those. If their child seems to be doing well and then all of a sudden they come back from winter break and aren't doing it as well and their grades automatically drop, I mean, they can talk about those things and they can really see how, start looking at how it personally affects them. And then if they need to start changing child care, because I know some of the people were really concerned about child care, but if they could start thinking about that now, some of those issues may be resolved. At least spreading the word that that's something we'll be looking at in the future.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I like that suggestion.
Yeah. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's approved 5-0. All opposed? Yeah, approved 5-0. Item number 17. Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Oh, I'm on.
Yes, okay. You are. You asked to have this agendized?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for giving me this memo. So I'm going to, in the interest of, I'm on a learning curve here, I'd like to ask that, I'd like to move that we form an advisory committee of two board members, like Ms. Chidester said, and I'd like to ask Mr. Cox to help mentor me through this process and work with the superintendent, and then in the next board meeting have an actual vote for the board with what's going to happen with Edison. So that's what I would like to do. So I read through this memo, and I said I think this would be really good because then it would help me. I can get the right data. I can get the right information. I can have the right arguments to put forth.
Okay, so you're moving to create
a negotiation committee
of you and Mr. Cox. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, to work with the superintendent on this issue?
To work with the superintendent on this and then bring it up for a vote at our next
meeting. Okay, is there a second? I'll go ahead and second it for discussion. Discussion. Who's discussion?
Yes. I really feel that I would like to have some input onto ongoing negotiations. And if it's limited to two, then I believe I'm an advocate for the community, and certain community members come to me. How will their voice be brought to the table except for the vote? I won't have any input in the discussion. That makes me feel extremely uncomfortable.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Shoemaker?
I'm a bit confused about what a committee is necessary for. Edison is in a contract that doesn't end until 2013. Have we received correspondence from Edison that I'm unaware of that they want to reopen their contract, make changes to their contract? I'm aware of nothing, and so I'm not quite sure what a committee would be used for. I'm not interested in reopening their contract until 2013 when it expires, and that committee was one of the suggestions of a possible way to handle negotiations. We're not in negotiations.
Okay.
So, I'm a bit dumbfounded by what the issue is. I don't think that we have enough information here on our published agenda for community members who may want to have some input on the fact that there may be possible negotiations with Edison for them to be here and speak to the board about how they feel about that. And so I don't want us to get into an issue with something being improperly agendized. And so I think, one, we need to find out how it should be agendized to even discuss that. Two, again, an advisory committee was something in the midst of negotiations. And I'm a little concerned that you're quoting out of an attorney-client privilege letter, and that's another thing that we'll need to give you some guidance on. And so I don't know where to go from here. I don't
okay.
think that this is an item we can vote on properly.
Okay. Any other discussion?
So
comments?
I'll ask for it to be tabled until we...
Okay. Okay, it's been moved that it be tabled. Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved and tabled. There is no discussion. All in favor of table this item, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No? Okay, motion to table fails 2-3. Okay, we have a motion that to form a negotiations committee to deal with, as outlined here, contract San Jose Edison Academy enrollment that would consist of Mr. Cox and Mrs. Eileen Miranda Jimenez.
Point of clarification?
Sure.
I need to hear exactly what you intend. Are you saying you want to open the contract? Because if you open the contract, we will have an attorney involved. It won't just be me and two board members. So if you're saying that you want to open the contract, it opens the entire contract. We can put things on the table that we want to negotiate.
Ooh.
Well, so negotiations, when you open a contract, works two ways. Okay? So when we do board agenda items, you usually have a transmittal that says what the intentions are. I'm surprised the board president didn't ask you to specify that. This is the first time I've ever heard of an item being agendized in this manner. Usually it's, this is exactly what we want to talk about. For example, we want to talk about the enrollment number, class size, very specific. And basically what I'm hearing, though, is that you want to open up the contract. Is that right? Because Edison needs to know that they want to open up the contract.
Then if, yes, class size. Definitely.
It says under enrollment.
Enrollment, right.
Okay, but opening up the contract means that both sides open a contract. It's not just limited to what you're going to say. The district is also going to open up items on that contract. As long as we're clear on that, I'm fine.
Okay, okay. And then we have the attorney involved as well.
Yes.
It takes more than one board member requesting to open a negotiation for a negotiation to be opened. It's that simple.
Well, actually, I think the agenda item, as it was explained to me, and this is, of course, now a month since it was first requested to be placed on the agenda, it says contract San Jose Edison Academy enrollment. So I think that whatever the committee decides with the superintendent, the lawyers, or whatever, and obviously if Edison doesn't want to negotiate, it's limited to those enrollment functions because that's what's agendized here.
No, what's agendized here is at the request of board member Eileen Miranda Jimenez, this contract item on San Jose Edison
Correct.
Is being brought forward. It
right.
doesn't say what the contract item on enrollment
right. is. And in our closed session packet, we did have a copy of the last contract amendment that was made with Edison.
But that was inappropriate. That was inappropriate.
What was inappropriate?
To agendize it in closed session.
No, I didn't say it was agendized in closed session. I said in our packet there was an item, there was the backup material from the last contract. That's what I said. Originally, this was agendized for a closed session item, and then we took that off.
That was one.
The last amendment that dealt with enrollment. That was in our packet that we just received.
What was in our packet was an assumption made by staff on what the item might be.
Yep.
Because they had no information.
Correct.
We have no information in this packet. Again, if we're talking about opening negotiations into a contract, one, we need to hear from Edison that they're interested in opening
yes.
the contract. Two, we need a vote from the board that they're interested in reopening Edison's contract. And this doesn't have this. It wasn't agendized for the public to see what exactly this item would be because we've heard two things that this will be for. One, to form an advisory committee. Two, to negotiate with Edison. So I don't know where we have to go from here. I don't know how this needs to be handled. We most definitely need a legal opinion on where to go from here.
Yeah.
And
okay, there's a motion on the floor to provide for a negotiations committee of two people to deal with San Jose Academy enrollment, which is what's agendized here. Is there any more discussion on this item?
Again, a legal opinion is necessary.
That's
a very dangerous ground. If you're going to continue to go through with this, I will remove myself from the board table rather than
right.
violate what could possibly be a Brown Act violation with a vote on this. Because this is not what is agendized. It is not what's published.
It is actually what's published. It's the San Jose Edison Academy enrollment contract. And you knew for a month what was going on. And in fact, there's no correspondence to Ms.
We need to do things, Mr. Spence, the right way.
I don't dispute that. But I'm saying that what you're asking is.
What I hear is.
Excuse me.
An argument about how to do things. Okay, so you have to.
I'm saying there's a motion on the floor.
You got to be willing to hear that motion is not appropriate. Okay? That motion is not
based
appropriate.
On what?
Based on legal opinion.
What legal opinion do you have that shows me that this is not valid?
Okay. When there's a material change to a contract, the
what?
Legal opinion is
legal.
That it
show
has
me the legal
to be
opinion.
Worded that...
We will take a five-minute break, okay. And you will show me the legal opinion. What? Five-minute break, show me the legal opinion.
Mr. Spencer.
I actually asked you at the last meeting to provide a legal opinion about whether or not the options outlined by in this October 27th memo were correct. I asked you that at the last meeting.
What are you talking about? There was no discussion at the last meeting.
Yes, there was.
There was no discussion.
We're adjourned for 5 minutes, yeah. I'm waiting for a legal opinion.
Well, I don't know that I can get your attorney on the phone, but you need to talk to your attorney.
Well,
not to me, because I'm
just
advising
number.
You that this
is
correct, okay? This is not the correct way to do business. Okay, and I understand you want to railroad this through, whatever it is you have in mind, but that's not appropriate. The appropriate thing is to say, we want to open up the contract. If that's what you want to do, that's what you write. If it's, we just want to do this. But it has to be done with Edison. It's not just a board right. member having an idea of bringing something forward. They have to understand that their contract's going to be opened.
Right.
Opened. Okay, so now we're back to negotiating not just what you might want or what the board majority want.
Are you
going to
provide me his cell phone number?
So the bottom line is, okay.
Provide me his cell phone number.
I don't think it's appropriate to call the attorney when we haven't talked to him.
Well, you said there's a legal opinion, so he can give me a legal opinion.
Will you get it for the next meeting?
I once again will ask to have this item tabled.
That is actually out of order because we've already voted on that item.
I believe there's, I have another vote.
Well,
can,
you can believe
I
that.
Reconsider my vote.
You can believe that.
Okay.
You can believe
are we in adjournment? Or
no, we're not. We're waiting. I'm waiting for a legal opinion.
Can I reconsider my
5 minutes.
Vote on
legal opinion. When we readjourn, I'm waiting for a legal opinion.
You don't get a legal opinion in 5 minutes. Attorneys need to have appointments with you, Mr. Spence.
And
well, I'm also noticing that you did not want to give me that
Mr.
thing.
Mr. Spence.
Hmm?
Table it.
I'm fine tabling it, but I want to hear from the attorney because I think what we're hearing is not accurate.
You're well aware our attorney is on his way to the airport and may be, in fact, on an airplane. So
well,
he left the district
we'll never know because you won't give me the phone number.
He left an hour ago to go to the airport and get on a plane. You're being ridiculous.
No, I'm not.
You're treading on dangerous legal water for a school that you seem to only care about this particular school. I care about
you know what, Ms. Shoemaker, that is completely unfair of you,
there's
Ms. Shoemaker.
There's a motion on the table.
No, there isn't. There is a motion on the table.
He asked to have it reconsidered.
We're
he
not back yet.
He said it was okay.
We're not back yet.
You said it was okay.
You've
been
we're not
talking
back yet.
The whole time.
That is
never
correct.
Did we leave the dais?
Well, we don't have to leave the dais. As you know, I can
then
speak all the time.
Not, you should not have entertained conversation then.
Why not? We do that all the time at the dais during breaks. I'm waiting
not
for
the public
I'm waiting for the attorney's
we're
phone number. That's what I'm waiting for.
All I know is when we have other board presidents, things have to be by the book, Mr. Spence. When you're board president,
Ms. Castillo,
you
Ms. Castillo,
get an
you never asked for any of this stuff. We've
did
been dealing with this
me?
For a month, and
did
you've
you
never said.
Me, did you ask me to get the attorney?
You have
available
never done that.
You,
you have
you ask
never
that?
Asked that for a month. You send me the agenda. I approve everything you want on the agenda. Never once did you say you need to get this from
you
Ms.
Told
Miranda
you didn't
Jimenez.
Know what
you've never done that. You've never done that.
You did know what she wanted.
You have never. I don't. And
okay.
you never asked me to go
then
get
that's
it.
Why we, that's the problem,
but you have
Eileen.
Never,
therein lies
you
the
have never
okay.
asked
you
me
don't
to get
say
this stuff.
What you need, we can't
this is
guide
typical
you.
Of what you do, where you lay these kinds of ambushes on the board at the last minute.
Mr. Spence, okay. after 20 years on the board, you know darn well, and as a chief of staff or an assemblyman, you know darn well the rules of how a meeting works and runs. You know that there is not enough information on here for us to move on.
I disagree with that. Mr. Cox has left. I'm readjourning this meeting. I have not received the phone number of the attorney as I requested, so I could contact him. We'll go ahead and table this item to our next meeting, if that's okay with the board. And then there are dates here to remember. And we are adjourned at 7:55 p.m.